There is a story of a five-year-old girl. This happened up in Cook County, I believe. We'll get all the details here in a second. A five-year-old girl who was in the custody of DCFS, Illinois' DCFS, and because of things, because of the world we're living in, had to sleep in the office, on the floor in the office of DCFS. In our studio is the interim president and CEO of the Children's Home, Stephanie Alkafaji. Good to see you. How are you?
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Dan's proud that I pronounced your last name correctly, and I think we are all relieved. Tell me about this story, not necessarily this story in per se about that little girl, but what it represents. What's going on right now?
Yeah, so stories like these are really heartbreaking. When a kid comes into care of DCFS or the state of Illinois, it's because for whatever reason their home environment was deemed unsafe or unfit. So these kids are kind of escalated to DCFS, and DCFS is then tasked with a really difficult task to find what we call placement for these kids.
Okay. And so, what could placement be?
Sure.
What falls under that?
Yeah, there are a couple different options. So that could look like traditional foster care. Could look like specialized foster care or residential treatment facility. And there are more options than that, but those are sort of the dominant ones, those three, a form of foster care.
Is there a problem in one of those categories right now? What's happening that we're even sitting here having this conversation?
Yeah, there's a problem in all three, to be perfectly honest. And the problem is capacity. It's a lack of resources in our community and frankly across the state of Illinois. We don't have enough foster families to take these kids, and we don't have enough capacity in residential treatment facilities.
And is Children's Home a residential treatment facility then?
We're all of the above. So
okay,
we have
you do foster parents too. Okay. Mm-hmm,
yep,
okay.
We've got a component of our agency that's foster care, and it's a rather large component. And then we also have residential treatment facilities.
What determines where a child goes?
It's the level of need or the level of care that they require. So many of the kids that Children's Home sees are kids with very significant trauma in their background. So abuse, neglect, violence, they've either witnessed that or many times they've been a victim of that.
Yeah.
As a result, they've got some very serious mental health, behavioral health challenges. So kids in residential treatment facilities are kind of above and beyond. They're sort of the most severe needs. Kids in traditional foster care have lesser needs, and then specialized foster care falls somewhere in between. So they likely have some additional medical or academic or behavioral health needs. So they need a foster family who is committed
to that additional
support.
Different set of circumstances.
It takes a special family to take in a child who has had severe trauma.
Yeah.
Probably hard to find those people. They're probably very unique. How do you match them up?
Yeah, it's very difficult to find those people. But I do have to say, as tall of a task as that is, it's a really, really rewarding experience when you do open your home and your heart to a kid in need. What we're looking for when we are looking for foster families are really folks who are committed to providing those additional, what we call wraparound services. So behavioral health services, that looks like therapy support often for our kids. At Children's Home kids, we provide all of that wraparound support. So we kind of walk that journey with our foster parents and our foster families and make sure they have every tool available, every training, every resource, every support that we can provide so that they can provide the most stable environment for those kids.
Do these kids go to school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try to make their lives as normal as humanly possible.
Yeah.
So the goal is stability. The goal is treatment services. And where possible, we're always aiming for reunification with their biological family. And that's not something that most people think about when they think about fostering.
The ideal foster family, is there a model that you look at and go, all right, this is the kind of people we're looking for? If so, what is that description?
Yeah, yes and no. The ideal foster family are folks who are committed to providing stability. Now, whether that looks like a single parent, two parents, a household that already has children in it, a household without children, all of that is...
Can you be a foster parent if you're older, like mm-hmm. a grandma and grandpa age?
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. Absolutely.
As long as you have love in your heart and capacity to deal with challenges, probably,
yep.
right?
Yep.
And then what's the process like to vet them?
Sure. So that process is extensive, as it should be, on behalf of our agency and across the state of Illinois. So what it looks like is an application process and a pretty thorough vetting. So things like home visits to ensure, you know, that the home is stable, that they have, for example, the appropriate space, that they have the financial means to care for a child on an ongoing basis.
Sure.
Once they make it through that process, and we're talking a period of months, that's not a quick process. Then we go through a training process with our agency to set them up to be prepared for what that kid might look like and when that kid would come. It could happen whenever.
So, and you always need resources, you always need help and fundraising and all that. When a kid comes from a situation of a broken or dysfunctional home to the children's home, I always say my favorite time of year is when those little candles are lit in the window, because you know there's a soul back there.
Mm-hmm.
When they come into your place, I mean, is there in this way, okay, it's a new place, but a sense of relief that there is at least some stability in their lives?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I think that's one of the greatest joys of the job of being part of the children's home mission, is that we do provide that hope and that stability. But we could not do that without the support of the foster families, mm-hmm. the, you know, 200 plus foster families that we do have working with us.
Yeah, 200?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a need for how many more right now?
Oh, gosh. If 200 more foster families signed up tomorrow, there would still be a need across the state of Illinois.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, there's around 900 youth in care. So youth in the placement of DCFS, youth who are looking for a home setting right now in Peoria County alone. We're the third highest county in the state.
I want to hear, like, if I'm right now driving my car and I'm thinking, you know what, we've talked about it or we've thought about it. What literally happens? So I call today and I say, I heard Stephanie on Greg and Dan show. We're kind of interested in being a foster family. What happens?
Yep. So we would immediately put you in contact with kind of our intake team over at foster care, and they would invite you in to children's home to sit down and have a conversation. And that's a real honest conversation about kind of what drew you to this, what is compelling you, what might some of your concerns be. And then we would walk you through kind of a very realistic preview of what life might look like as you get started, once a child is placed with you, and kind of thereafter. There's a lot of unknowns. So, for example, you know, we might get a call at 3 a.m. that says we've got a kid and we need placement, and we need placement right now. In which case, we would call someone and say, "Hey, your time is now."
But is that child then brought to your home, or do you go meet at the children's home? Walk me through that.
Yeah, it depends where they come from. So, for example, if that child is in a hospital setting, then caseworkers and our team, in conjunction with DCFS team, would bring that child to your home. They're not always as emergent as that. Sometimes there are cases that have a little bit more time to plan, time to mull things over.
Yeah,
lead time to get some things prepared. Of course, that's always ideal.
Does a family have to have a place, like in the house? In other words, is there? Does this child require their own room? And if that's the case, does a DCF worker or a children's home counselor come to my house to look at it and go, all right, you've got a space?
Yep, that's exactly right. Okay. So kind of home inspections, but yes, they need their own
space.
You got to
get that together before the call.
Oh, yeah. That's that kind of interim planning before you even qualify to have a placement. All of that sort of inspection, training for a placement.
I don't mean to sound as preachy as I'm about to sound here, but it's going to sound preachy. We talk, Dan and I talk endlessly. We've been doing this for 17 years together. Right now, I can't think of a time when we've had more young people in crisis in our community, in communities being the whole Central Illinois. It's rampant. It's a disaster.
It's generational.
And so when I hear about an opportunity to take a kid who maybe has grown up in violence, abuse, and then help them see what life is like outside of that norm. We can fix it. We can fix it. Is it easy? Oh, boy, it's not.
No.
It is super not easy.
And one of the stories that just kills us is Andy King, who runs the Dream Center. He was asking kids, it was around Christmas time, what would you want for Christmas? You know, he thought games and this and that, and most of the kids said somewhere where I'm safe.
Yeah. And but it requires us today that are listening, and the two of us in this room that are talking to you, to say, I'll do it. Right. And that's a hard move. It is a hard move.
Yeah, it's a hard move. But I also think there's some hope in knowing that there's a move. There's an option, and it's for all of us to band together and say, I have the capacity. I'm up for the challenge. And it will be a challenge.
That old phrase, it takes a village, is kind of turned into a cliche. However, it's 100% accurate. It is 100%. Without all of us, it's not going to work.
Now, what are the success stories? Parents who have taken kids in and...
Sure. Yeah, we've got tons of those. And frankly, I speak on behalf of every single person I know that works at Children's Home now. And there's about 415 of us right now. Those success stories are what keep you coming back every day. So they might look like a kid who presented to us straight out of the hospital, perhaps aggressive, perhaps just very scared, confused, and on the end of their placement journey, they're just an entirely different kid. And when you see that transformation happen, you know, that's what keeps you coming back. We also have a ton of success stories about reunifying with the biological family. And that is, like I mentioned, that is always our goal. And it's sometimes, you know, a lesser talked about or a lesser known component of foster care. But our team, the Children's Home team, is not only working with the foster family and that child, we continuously are working with that biological family
and
if they're present.
Their problems, yeah, and issues,
to create that safe environment that the kids can come back to. And the reason is there's so much research about kids always gravitating back to their biological family. So it's a, we would be remiss to not provide services to that family as well.
All right. This takes money. Obviously, supporting a Children's Home is a wonderful thing. What can we do with that today? What can we do?
Yeah, two things. Like you mentioned, if you are someone who's thinking about foster care, who's had that in the back of your mind, please reach out. If nothing else, so we could start that conversation and help you come to the decision of whether or not that would be a good option for you and your family. And the second is of course, financial support of our agency. Like I mentioned, we are a foster care program as well as a residential facility, and a number of other things that happen under the Children's Home umbrella, and we will be forever in need of additional resources to help little girls, little girls like that little girl that was sleeping in the DCFS office.
This all started because of a conversation that you guys shared with us about a little girl, 5 years old, who had to sleep in the office because there was no place for her to go.
Yeah.
And that should not be. That should not be. Good to see you. Thanks for doing what you do.
Thanks so much.